I speak this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. My wife Alice and I have a favorite date night. One of our favorite date nights is to go and watch the Corpus Christi Hooks play baseball at Whataburger Field. And one of the things we like best is the way each of the players on the Hooks has their own special song that plays through the PA when they come up to bat. And it got me thinking, what song would I pick? What song will I pick when I finally get around to generously offering the Corpus Christi Hooks my services as starting shortstop? I thought about that for a while, and I decided my song would have to be a song from the 80s by a kind of a British punk rocker guy you may remember named Elvis Costello. And the song is called What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding? And it's a song that asks an important question. It's a song that asks us why we react the way we do to idealism. It's a song that asks us why we react with such acidic cynicism, such skepticism. Whenever someone says something that sounds idealistic or hopeful, it asks us why thoughts of peace and love and forgiveness are so quickly written off as unrealistic, irresponsible, childish dreams. And I'm thinking about that song right now, not because I'm imagining myself stepping up to bat in Whataburger Field. I'm thinking about that song right now because in the gospel we just heard Father Milton read, in the gospel we heard together this morning, Jesus comes to us and he gives us a double-barreled blast of idealism. Never seek to even scores. Don't resist when you're wronged. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemy. Go the extra mile. Give when people ask, whether they deserve it or not. And the biggest one of all, be perfect. Be perfect? I'm struggling just to make it to okay. Jesus means be perfect in love the way God is perfect. Not get 100% on every exam and always shoot par on the golf course. Be complete in love, but even so. And at this point when we hear Jesus' words and really encounter them, at this point it's tempting to let the skepticism and cynicism take over. At this point, we're tempted to put our arm over Jesus' shoulders and pat him on the back and say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, bless your little heart. That's fine for you. But I have to live in the real world. I have to live in the real world where there are people who mean to do me harm. I have to live in the real world where there are people who may take advantage of me. As if Jesus didn't know what it was like to live with people who meant him harm. Now, there have been generations of really clever preachers who have come up with all kinds of explanations of how Jesus doesn't really mean what he seems to be saying in this gospel, and I'm nowhere near clever enough to do that, so I'm not going to join them. I'm kind of simple enough to think that Jesus actually means what he says. And so all I'm going to do right now is come right out in front of y'all. And I'm just going to admit, I personally find these commandments really, really hard. My grown-up Christian life has been a constant struggle to approximate them. Because I worry. I worry about loving and not having my love returned. I worry about loving and meeting scorn instead of love in return. I worry about being taken advantage of. I worry about looking weak. I worry about not having enough stuff if I start giving stuff away. Hell, I just worry. And the thought of obeying all these commandments, these radical commandments out there in the cold, cruel world, well, frankly, that just makes me scared. I've got a sneaky suspicion I might not be the only one. But there's one place where I'm willing to try, where I'm willing to give it a go. There's one place where I'm willing to risk the vulnerability, willing to risk the openness of obeying these commandments of Jesus. Folks, that place is here. That place is with you. Here it's different. Here among people that I've come to love deeply and trust, I'm willing to try. Here with y'all, I've learned how to use that word, here with y'all, I'm willing to try turning the other cheek when someone harms me. Because I know I'm going to need them to turn the other cheek when I harm them. Here with people who I hope have come to love and trust me, I'm willing to go the second mile because I know for a certain fact that there will be times that I will need you to go the extra mile with me. Here I'm willing to forgo getting even. Here I'm willing to look and even be weak, all for the sake of preserving bonds of love and affection between us. Here I'm willing to loosen up my white-knuckle grip on my life and my possessions. Here I'm willing to try learning to live in the joy of abundance rather than the fear of scarcity. Here with you, I'm willing to give it a go. I'm willing to at least try setting no bounds to my love the way our Father sets no bounds to His. And here I'm willing to try all that and fail. And I will. Because I know that when that happens, I'll be met with understanding and forgiveness. Here with you all, I'm willing to risk it. And it's not because all of us here are better or more pure or more wonderful people than anyone anywhere else. You all are wonderful, of course, but that's not why I'm willing to make this risk. I'm willing to risk obeying these commands simply because all of us here have placed our lives under the authority of Jesus. That's why. All of us here have decided that it doesn't work when we're in charge and when we follow our own natural inclinations. All of us here have decided to hand over the course of our lives to Jesus because He knows better than we do. This is a safe place because the bonds between us aren't forged through our own strength or willpower or shared interests or common opinions. This is a safe place because we've all made our baptismal vows. It's a safe place because of those vows that we're going to reaffirm in just a little while. This is a safe place because the bond between us is Jesus. And this is Jesus' way. And that's why Christian community is so important. That's why it just doesn't make sense for us to try to be lone rangers of Christian faith. We need to be together to forge, to make that safe place for us to obey Jesus' commands. Now I know this all sounds a little inward looking, as if all this love is meant to be confined just to within these walls, and we know that's not the case. I don't think it really is, because when we really grow together in that bond that Jesus makes, when we really grow together in genuine Christian community in Jesus, there are some miracles that start to happen. Little ones, but real ones. Miracles that make our community together in Jesus a gift for the whole world. First of all, When we practice that love in here, when we work on it with each other, we get better at being more loving out there. You can think of how we are in here with one another as kind of batting practice for how we're called to be out there. A sociologist named Robert Putnam tells us that people who belong to faith communities are far more likely to belong to other volunteer organizations that reach out farther into their communities and towns and cities. Being here together makes us better neighbors out there. And that's a gift to the world. But there's another deeper way that we become a gift to the world. And I think this is what Jesus is getting at in the Sermon on the Mount. Because when you and I really grow together in the gift of community, when we grasp that, claim it, and grow into it, we show the world something. We show the world something it really, really needs to see. We show the world around us an alternative way of living, a different way of being together. Where our bonds in Jesus help to remove fear, promote love, help us genuinely be together, where I can listen to your story and you can listen to mine, and neither one of us will freak out. We'll accept each other and help each other to grow. Where we can genuinely be together in peace, and forgiveness and love. And I'm here to tell you, community of peace, forgiveness and love, there are tons of people out there who are just yearning for that, just longing for that. They may not be yearning to join an institution, but they're yearning for that. A community of peace and love and forgiveness. And Jesus is counting on us to show it to them in a real and concrete way. So the more authentic we are in our Christian community, the more committed we are to the bonds between us in Jesus, to Jesus' way of living together, the greater the gift we are to the world around us. I'm pretty sure that Jesus means what He says to us this morning. I'm pretty sure that with His help, we can grow into it. And I'm very sure that that can change the world. And I ask, after all, really, what is so funny about peace, love, and understanding? In Jesus' name, amen.